This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 12th WGN show. We started at 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a couple hours to spend together. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. Cindy sold her house. We'll find out about that in a moment. But the story I was telling you about the judge following the guy to jail, it's one of those feel-good stories, really. Not so much for the veteran who was sentenced to a night in jail, but when you hear the story, it's interesting. It's a North Carolina judge, and he was sentencing Lou Oliveira to a night in jail because he had violated his probation and drank. And the deal is that Green Beret Joe Sima had PTSD after experiencing traumatic events, the likes of which you and I will never know. And a couple, three terms in Afghanistan, two Purple Hearts for bravery, an IED, a suicide bomber. He was also the only survivor after being trapped with their soldiers inside a submerged vehicle. It goes on. He was in the trunk. He said, I only had one option that night, and it wasn't a good option. And so the veteran, like I say, was first arrested for drinking and driving, and the sentence terms were probation, but you can't drink again, and then he did. And so he comes in front of Judge Oliveira, who said, well, you're going to spend a night in jail, and transfers him to a cell. And after that, the judge started reading about Sima and what he did in the military, and his claustrophobia and his PTSD and his many acts of heroism. So the judge decided he would join him by joining him in the cell for the night. And he says, Judge, what are you doing? And he says, we're in the foxhole together. They closed the door, they locked it. And the bottom line was that the judge could have left, but he didn't. And that's when the veteran said, I knew I was going to be okay after that. And so they spent the night talking about their service and their family and their lives. And bottom line was the walls came down. So what a good story. And the next day the judge drove him home, dropped by a shop to buy donuts for the family. And his empathy came easy. And it meant so much to that family. He said, I'm a judge. I've seen evil, but I've also seen the humanity in people, and Joe is a good man. All right, so nice story. Nice feel-good story for a change. All right, Cindy is in Norridge. So, Cindy, welcome to WGN Radio. So tell me about the house sale.
Well, it's not for sure, but the real estate said, the real estate that I have is Sarah Leonard, and I totally misunderstood them. They're very nice people.
All right.
They advertise on W. But anyhow, I just totally misread them and got a bunch of bad advice from family. They're very nice people.
Okay.
But they're wonderful. But that anyhow, it's not for sure. She's going to find out from the broker tomorrow, but she says she thinks this is the real deal.
And are they paying what you want?
Well, I don't know anything yet. She's going to call tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Good. But so it looks like there's a sale, though you're not sure yet.
Yeah, and I'm just just so happy to get out of here. Norwich is such a strange place to live.
Oh, everywhere is a strange place anymore, Cindy. I gotta tell you.
But I have a request. I can't remember. I just have been under so much stress. Just can't remember the name of the group. Grassroots.
Oh, God. What do you want to hear by them?
Live for Today.
La, 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 Live for Today. Okay, sure. Rob Grill and the Grassroots. I'll do it.
Okay.
Only for you. Okay. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. So, yeah, okay. The Grassroots were Trisha Nixon's favorite group. She had them to the White House. All right. I guess that's something. I'm not sure what, but something. So we'll move something aside. I think I was going to play The Cheater by Bob Cuban because it would have been his, or was, his birthday. And I think today, isn't it? Let me see if I can't find that since we're not going to play it now. But I don't know. We'll have some other birthdays to celebrate. But we'll also have Rob Grill and the Grassroots and like that. Now, I know there was something else I was going to say, but it's completely, yeah, I know, I can't hold a thought hostage, completely left my mind. So if you want to call, that's great, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we'll celebrate a birthday, I believe, that one of Bunny DeBarge turned 69 over the weekend, and she was a co-writer of I Like It. So we'll play it coming up on WGN Radio. Too, DeBarge, 1982 on Gordy. Yeah, and Bunny co-wrote that with a sibling. Yeah, if you look at the label, it says E. DeBarge, and of course that's because Bunny was Edderlene, named after her mother. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and that takes us to John from Covington, Kentucky. What's up tonight, John?
Hi, Raleigh. I spent most of the day today, since I am retired, I spent most of the day trying to broaden my horizons musically. So today's day was dedicated to Frankie Lyman and the Juniors.
The Teenagers.
And man.
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. I get a little nervous when I talk to you. I don't know why, but I do. Oh, man. What a sound. What a sound. You know what I like the most about his stuff is, like, when they get to the bridge, it's the upright bass and a saxophone and just maybe mild drums. You know, it makes it sound really honest. That's what I like the most about it.
It's a very interesting story because Frankie, his first song, which he co-wrote Why Do Fools Fall in Love. The co-writer was George Goldner, who owned Rama Records, Rama and G and End and Gone and all that. And I've
Found that out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mentioned before that George had an attribute that few people have, and that's that he had the ears of a 13-year-old girl. I mean, he knew exactly what a teeny bopper was going to want to hear, because that's what he liked. It was genuine. Now, unfortunately, he liked something even more, and that was alcohol. So George, and gambling, I should mention. Gambling was the big one. George never passed up a bet, you know. He'd be in an office building, and he'd bet with somebody on which elevator would come to the lobby first. I mean, anything, you name it. In any event, that would cause him to be indebted to people that you don't want to be indebted to.
And,
and the guy who bailed him out every time was Moish Levy of Roulette. But, of course, the price for bailing him out was that Moish got to own his record label at the time. And so what happened with Frankie Lyman is here George did this tremendous, you know, just absolutely inspired teenage record with a child, really, because Frankie was a child at that time. And it was just terrific. But here comes Moish, you know, oh, man, another gambling debt. And Next Things were on Roulette, if you looked at it. And those records paled by comparison. I mean, they weren't bad, but they certainly weren't George Goldner. And the other thing is Morris Levy didn't care about the teenagers, which is kind of a dumb thing to do. I realized Frankie Lyman was the upfront star, but still, the other members were critical. And Herman Santiago and Jimmy Merchant and, you know, others, Joe Negroni. And in any event, I'm leaving some, Sherman. But anyhow, he kind of dissed them. So from the beginning, there were, you know, before the group even got started, the group was pretty much finished. And it was really, really a shame. Now, some of the other records weren't bad. I mean, you have to laugh at I'm Not a Juvenile Delinquent.
Oh, I was going to bring that up.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's not bad.
No, but here's the thing. Moish Levy put him doing things like recording Goody Goody. You know,
that was a good one, too.
Yeah, but that's a Benny Goodman record. Now we're going back to big bands from the 30s and stuff like that. It isn't it isn't the same feel. So there are many people who feel had George Goldner still remained producer through all of this. And actually, Richie Barrett was the guy who first heard him. He's the guy who was responsible for the Chantels and a number of other people, and it was Richie who turned him over. Richie at the time was with the Valentines, you know, Woo Woo Train and all that. Well, anyway, he turned him on to George. And actually, Herman Santiago was late for the session, so he was going to be the lead singer. So Lyman stepped up and said to Goldner, "I can sing it." And that's why he did, and he was called from the beginning Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers rather than just the Teenagers. So it was just, if Santiago had not been late, Frankie might not have got his shot.
Let me ask you, what do you think of the song Paper Castles?
Well, it's there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe, I knew this one before today, but Tears on My Pillow, I think, is his best work, I think.
That's Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, Tears on My Pillow is Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Okay, but Frankie Lyman did it because I listened to it.
Yeah, but
today.
but as an album cut, one of the things is all of those acts, when they were filling out an album, would do other people's hits. It was very common in country, too, of course.
Yeah,
but, I wouldn't, you can't really credit him with that. But, but he did Paper Castles. I mean, that, you're right. That is, and that was on G in 57. The flip side is Teenage Love. That was, again, before Moish Levy really got his hooks into him and having him do all the goody goodies of the world. And
is going to sound like a goody-goody or regressing to big bands, but I thought he did a very good job with Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, but again, these weren't hits.
I understand, but it's still good music.
And the stuff started degrading quickly. By the early 60s, I think he covered Little Bitty Pretty One, the Bobby Day.
Yeah, I heard that today.
Yeah. And that was, I think that got to number 58 or number 60 on the Hot 100.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, but it did not did not, and that was really about it. Now, the problem along the way is he still was relatively a child, but talk about a relationship. He and heroin were going steady. And
oh, so, that's what killed him, I understand.
Yeah, well, but he was doing that at 15 years old, he was hooked.
Wow, and he, yeah. Oh my God.
And so, and it was actually, he was always, women twice his age were always attracted to him. And it was just one of those women who introduced him. And it was Levy who put him in a drug rehabilitation program. He ended the contract and said, you're going into rehab. But of course, it did not work as far as that goes. And, you know, he had deals with 20th Century and with Columbia, but nothing worked out. He had a wife. I don't know what happened to her, and he had a baby child or whatever. And then that. But I think it was a real weird thing because at the time the wife was legally married to another husband. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and then he got involved with Zola Taylor from the Platters. And in fact, when they were going after royalties many decades after his death, Zola Taylor said, well, I'm his rightful wife. You know, I married him in Mexico. And there were reasons to believe maybe not. But they also, I guess, shared a love of some substance. And so
you can't live. You can't mix love with money. It never works.
Well, yeah, and later she said, she was quoted as saying, oh, the whole thing was a joke, but I went along with it at the time. But there was never...
Yeah, right.
But so, yeah, the deal. And I think that, you know, he started appearing in reviews, like back at the Apollo, but I think he did a tap dance, actually. I'm not kidding that. And
really?
All that.
Yeah.
And so... there was one, a television show, and I don't remember what it was. It might have been Hollywood A Go-Go, but one of those where he lip-synced himself when he was 13 doing Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And you talk about pathetic. And then
make it, huh?
He then got busted on heroin, and he had a choice. He could go to jail or join the Army. So he joined the Army.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he went to
go
the
ahead,
Army.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And he was... in Augusta, I think, and he got married again to a school teacher there or whatever, and then he goes AWOL and gets dishonorably discharged. I'm not making this, and you know, is living with the wife and traveling around and trying to sing, and you know what's coming, of course, in February of 68, dead of a heroin overdose, 25.
Yeah.
In his grandmother's bathroom.
When he passed away from that, I remember it, of course. But...
Hang on a minute. No, let me leave you right there. John says I'm interrupting the news again on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh.
When I think of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true, I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do. May others plan their future, I'm busy loving you. 1, 2, 3, 4
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today.
And don't worry about tomorrow.
Meant to worry the way that people do, and I don't mean to hurry as long as I'm with you. We'll take it nice and easy and use my simple plan. You'll be my loving woman, I'll be your loving man. We'll take the most from living, have pleasure while we can. 2, 3, 4
Sha la 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 la, live for today.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is, the grassroots. And, man, that's a walking soap opera. Let's Live for Today. And that was 1967 on Dunhill. But here's the deal. That was actually an Italian hit. I'm not making this up. In fact, it was called Cry for Me, and I'll slaughter it because I don't know Italian, but Piangere con me. And the deal was that there's a British guy, Shel Shapiro. In fact, he was in a British band too, and an Italian lyricist, Mogul. Now, the British band that Shapiro was in had relocated to Italy, and they had signed with RCA Italiano. Not making that up. There is one. It was one. In any event, they put it out, and it was a huge hit. So they decided, of course, what's better than an American hit? Well, dollar-wise, nothing. And so it is that they're going to have to get some English lyrics. And at the I don't know if Shapiro wrote them or who, but somebody wrote them. And, oh, God. And the new title was Passing Through Gray. I am not making it up. All right. Well, when Dick James Music, the publisher, heard that, they said, not exactly. And so they assigned a staff writer to come up with something better. And that was Michael Julian, who came up with Let's Live for Today. But yeah, Passing Through Gray. But nonetheless, couldn't stop it. It was a hit. Dunhill Records. So that's, like I say, a walking soap opera on vinyl now, or a spinning soap opera on vinyl anyway. So P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry produced it stateside. So now back to John on Frankie Lyman. You know, the big hit of Why Do Fools Fall in Love came later, like 1981, Diana Ross. And that's when the feces hit the fan, because this time it sold a lot of copies. And of course, here's Frankie. He's long dead. So who gets his share of the royalties? And this is when the Zola Taylor thing came up. And they determined at first that the first wife, who really was a bigamist, well, she's entitled to him. But then they reversed it in the third wife, the one that the school teacher that he met while he was in the service for a minute and a half, got them. But in the process, it came to light that Moish Levy was a co-writer. Now, come on. Well, what had happened when he bought George, didn't buy, when he got George Goldner out of trouble again and wound up with the record label, he wound up with the writer's credits too. And so there was this whole thing in the courts, and they determined that, you know, hey, maybe the group should get that, like Herman Santiago and the other guys who wrote it with him. But unfortunately, while they were ready to rule in their favor, the statute of limitations ran out. So that's the story.
Well, yeah, I thought, like, just listening today, I thought he did a better job on the Paul Anka hit, Diana. I thought Frankie Lyman did a better job than Paul Anka.
Yeah, well.
And Paul Anka wrote it.
Yes, of course, and had a big hit with it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of like Paul only because he sounds as young as he was at the time, you know. And yeah, right. Yeah, and so I'm so young and you're so old. Or in some cases, at least in Frankie Lyman's relationships, I'm so old and you're so young.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I'll save this story for another day,
okay,
or another call. But on my senior class trip to Washington, D.C., I did not go. You didn't have to go,
okay?
So I stayed at home, and I played 36 holes of golf every day because I was ate up with golf at the time.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, a guy that was in our class, okay, they go to Arlington National Cemetery. Oh, and did he get in trouble? He ended up trying to light a marijuana cigarette off of JFK's eternal flame.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, and an MP seen what he was doing. Oh, long story short, the judge said, okay, it's 5 years in prison, because he wasn't messing around with this, 5 years in prison, or you can join the service. So the guy joined the Navy, and I seen him at our 40th reunion. He did 8 years in the Navy, and he became a underwater welder.
Wow.
And he's doing great.
Well, that's
but,
terrific.
Yeah,
now,
that.
Was he doing that job after the service? Because I didn't know there were that
yes.
many calls for underwater. I guess there are. Good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It worked out okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and those early Frankie Lymans, by the way, you know, the I'm Not a Juvenile Delinquent, ABC's of Love, Won't You Be My Girl, that's all Goldner. That's before Moish had to get him out of trouble again. It's always bothered me because, man, Goldner would have been so great if he didn't have that problem. Ron in Maryville, Indiana, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you for taking my call tonight, Raleigh.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called. What are we talking about?
Well, I got to ask, you were talking about rating systems and letters that rating companies used to send out to people about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
I got a thing from an outfit called Nielsen.
Yep, that's
a query letter.
That's the real deal.
You know,
yep.
It's the real legit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's absolutely. Is it radio or television? What are you going to be doing?
Both.
From where you are they wanting you to wear a people meter or fill out a diary?
They haven't come back to me. It was a query letter, and I'm planning to fill it out and send it back.
Absolutely.
By March 12th.
Yeah, they're the reigning firm, like them or not. They're the real deal.
Well, I got to ask what my two favorite radio stations were, and I said WGN and WFMT.
All right.
Of course, my favorite radio program is Lou Manfredini on Saturday morning in House Smarts.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll be curious. Keep me posted because I want to know if you're going to be in people meter or diary.
Okay, what's a people meter like?
You wear it, and it's a passive thing. You know, to go back, just trying to boil down radio ratings history, originally, we're talking about from the time Top 40 started, you had two companies.
Uh-huh.
You had Trendex and Hooper, and then Trendex went away, and you had Hooper and Pulse. But the problem was both of them were a form of a recall. What did you listen to, not what are you doing right now? And, of course, television had, the meters in the television that would be able to tell a rating service what somebody was listening to at that moment. So in 1966, mm-hmm. in a fit of insanity, it was insane, broadcasters decided they'd approve the diary method, where theoretically a listener would start filling it out Thursday morning at 6 a.m. and carry it around for a week and just write down everything they listened to. Well, of course, you can imagine it was a recall. Nobody did it, you know, while they were doing it. But then they came mm-hmm. out finally with sort of like a portable meter like would be in television sets, only this time the people meter was something that you wear. Now, all stations, I guess you don't have to, but everybody pretty much does, encode, meaning there's a signal that you cannot hear that the people meter can hear, and it will tell the people meter what's being listened to. So it's a passive way to get actual ratings. Are there problems? Yes, we could go on forever. But is it better than the diary method overall? You betcha. They'll either, you know, because I see that, you know, you're in Maryville, and I don't know how that plays in terms of whether it's going to be a diary or a people meter, but I'll be curious.
We'll see. One thing I'd like to mention is something I really appreciate on WGN is that every morning on the Surratt show, they have the report from the Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the few, like a reporter on the spot, like
yes.
Edward R. Murrow was in World
yes.
War II.
Yes.
And I really want to push the word out that I appreciate being able to hear how the Ukrainians are doing or how the Russians are doing against the Ukrainians. I'm hoping Ukraine can survive this mess and come out on top of it. But I want to let...
That's terrific.
Leadership.
Yeah, no,
in your organization,
I agree.
No.
Yeah, I think that's great. Many years ago, during the Afghanistan hostage crisis, I was doing morning drive news, and that was something I did every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Was an update. This is what happened. You know, even if the update was nothing new in Afghanistan this morning. Now, usually it wasn't, but if that was it, but you know. That idea is really the birth of Top 40 radio, and people don't realize it. But what happened when Todd Storrs first bought KOWH in Omaha, this was a time when people thought radio was dead because there was television, you know, radio with pictures. Who cared about radio anymore?
Yeah.
So what broke out, of course, around this time was the Korean crisis. And so what mm-hmm. Todd did every day, because a lot of boys from Omaha had been drafted and stuff, was he had a noon newscast and he would do, you know, what the update was from Korea. Well, the problem is that it wasn't a terribly exciting war, so it wasn't long before he had to pad that update with local news. And when the conflict was over and he took away the war updates, he took away the news because he thought, well, the war's over. I don't need to do it. People went crazy. They were like, well, they wanted the news. They wanted to hear it regularly. So the idea of repetition in news, that's what started it, the Korean conflict. A lot of people hear an apocryphal story, although it is true, about a waitress and, you know, using her own money to play the same songs over and over. And while that story was true, it came after they saw firsthand that people wanted the updates continually in the form of the local news, which started out as the Korean War updates.
Can I get one more comment in?
Sure.
It astonishes. I love music. I'm an eclectic. I like Rhapsody in Blue. I like R&B. I like blues. I like you name it. I like music of all varieties. But you folks and your other regular listeners really have interesting experiences with radio and music, which astonishes me. I'm a guy that listens to it, but I'm not that versed in it. And by listening to you, I'm picking up information on things and a better understanding of some of the artists and some of the musicians. And you've got a listening audience of people out there. They astonish me with their insight and your insight into music.
I'll tell you, we couldn't do it without you, because you said the magic word. You just listen to it. Wouldn't happen at all without listeners, so thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time tonight, and I'll let you know which one of those types of radio
systems. Yeah, can't wait to hear about it. Yeah, tell me all about it. Thanks.
Come back to me.
Yeah, they probably will. Did they ask how many members of your family as well? That's usually what they do.
I'm a one-guy family. So.
All right. And they ask your approximate age, usually, a demo range.
Yep.
So I think you'll hear from them, and I'll be curious what you get.
Well, I'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for the entertainment and the education and music that you folks and your listeners are providing a fellow like me.
Call me again soon.
So you have a good day.
You too. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Oh, a future recipient to the ratings. Years ago when I was living in Jacksonville, at the time it was the American Research Bureau, which became Arbitron, and I got one of those letters about television. It was a television survey. And at the time I had no TV in the home, but I had one in the car. And so, in-car listening, right. They sent me the diary. All right, so we'll we'll pick it up right there. 8888 ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
Hey! I remember that lonely night when the stars were so bright. We fell in love. I fell in love on that lonely night. You hurting me so,
hurting me so,
please, baby,
hurting me so.
So come on, make my hands walk with me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, after playing the Grassroots, I had to play some highlights. That's George Jackson, That Lonely Night, 1966 on Double R. And actually, I played, of course, George Jackson would be 79 this week. Not the same one. This is the guy from Indianola, Mississippi, who grew up in Greenville and wrote One Bad Apple and all that, and sadly died in 2013. But there are probably a dozen recording artist named George Jackson, and the guy who did That Lonely Night was my favorite, and he was from Baltimore, and I have absolutely no information about him, but something else I really loved by him was Kiss Me, so maybe we'll play that too. But other than that, I am not a font of information. We have another hour to spend together, and I can't wait. We've got Eduardo in Tampa, and we've got Barb in Yorkville, and Leah in Marcus Hook, and Cindy in Norwich is back, Cleveland Dennis, who's got a request, and Eduardo in Tampa. Did I mention that? And James on the south side. All right, so it's a full board of calls, and I promise not to interrupt, except for the news, obviously, which I'll interrupt in moments. But other than that, we will spend the next hour together. And tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have full three-hour shows. So if you don't make it in tonight, well, you got two more shots at it, and I hope you'll take them right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, another George Jackson, the one I like from Baltimore and know almost nothing about. But I know I like that. It was a flip side on Mercury a year after That Lonely Night, 1967. Kiss Me, yeah. So with that in mind, I was busy looking up more about Hyman Brown, but we'll talk with Cindy about that because she wants to talk about CBS Mystery Theater. All right, but before we get there, we have, Leah in Marcus Hook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm here. I'm still sitting erect.
Oh, that's good.
But,
that's,
you know, good. Every morning, John and I query each other about how we're feeling on the 1 to 100 scale. Well, you're talking with two people who are under 30. So, yeah, not the best of days.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, directly and swiftly.
Well, I was just calling about to say a quick rest in peace to Eric Harmon, who died over the weekend. And
yes, he did.
And they didn't say what he died of, though. Did you hear?
I heard it was sudden, like a heart attack. But I got to tell you, when I first heard the news, because no one had written to me about it, usually somebody will. He was a Cleveland boy, grew up in Lyndhurst, actually. And when I first heard he died, I said, oh, no, he couldn't have died. He died in 2017. Wait a minute. And I heard every newscast about that saying that he died. And I'm like, no, he couldn't have. And thank God I didn't say anything stupid on the air. But when I got off the air, I said, no, wait a minute. I know he died in 2017. Well, it turned out that there were two guys from Cleveland who were big rock and rollers. One, of course, was Eric Carmen and the Raspberries. The other was Sonny Geraci. And Sonny Geraci was the Outsiders, Time Won't Let Me. And he was also Climax, Precious and Few. And he had a stroke years ago, and then there was a benefit for him in 2013, and he did die in 2017, complications of all that, but he'd been sick for a very long time. So when I was saying, I know he died, but he was the wrong guy.
You got him mixed up.
Yeah, right. Sonny was a West Side guy, but Eric was a boy from Lyndhurst who, by the age of two, his parents enrolled him in violin classes. I'm not making that up.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Well,
he was married like three times, and the third wife was a news anchor, Amy somewhere. But all I heard was, and I don't know that somebody did say it was heart or whatever, no real cause, only that he died in his sleep. And that's what I think Amy had announced, that he died in his sleep.
Yeah, I said he was 71.
Yeah.
That's kind of young. That's not too old.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was wondering if you could play something by the Raspberries if you don't hate it too much.
Oh, like Go All the Way? All right. Well, not All by Myself. No, well, maybe Go All the Way. Definitely not All by Myself or Hungry Eyes, but I'll consider it.
Well, no, those are his solo things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll consider it. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, it was, I tell you, that whole show, every time I heard David Jennings and, you know, Eric Carmen is like, wait a minute, I know he's dead. Yeah, wrong guy. All right, so very sad that both of them are now gone. Yeah, and both of them were Cleveland royalty, no doubt about it. Sonny, kind of a West Side Italian guy, and like I say, Eric was Lyndhurst. So Barb in Yorkville, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up tonight, Barb?
Thank you, honey. I want to thank you very much for being concerned about me last night about my eye appointment.
Yes, well, we are.
I really am. I'm very happy that I'm a brand new listener to your station only about a week and a half ago.
Well, we love having you.
So I was listening to WBBM only for the news because I don't do cable.
Right.
And my kids fixed up my TV to have my VCR and my DVD player play movies all the time because I own over 1,000 videos.
Perfect.
So, anyways, I wanted to thank you so much for being interested. And I'm going to call once in a while because I appreciate people that appreciate other people.
Oh, yeah, and I'm gonna count on it. And you do these shots every month, so give us a call and let us know how the next one goes.
Right, I will.
All right.
They always go all right. It's just a matter of being patient.
Right.
Because they have to put a lot of drops in your eyes before they even do it.
But now you've got someone to drive you there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Her name is Linda Olson, and she seems like a real nice lady.
All right, well, bless you, Linda Olson, and hopefully you will meet somebody who can get you to the church.
Right, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But I also thought of four more women tonight.
Oh, you did, huh? Well, I'll tell you what,
you have to
save them for next Monday, because that's exactly where we're going to pick it up on Monday Night Trivia on Monday.
Right, I wrote them all down
Good.
So I don't forget them.
Well, and if anything else comes to mind between now and then, write them down too.
Right. Well, I can't think of that tap dancer that was so good in the 40s. I can't think of her name, and I have a couple of her old movies.
Wow.
I just can't remember her name.
Let's see. I'm trying to think who that might be. You mean Ann Miller?
Well, no. Ann Miller was the one. She's on my list. That's
okay.
One of the people
okay.
I guessed.
All right.
And I guessed Ann Southern.
Okay,
but
yes.
She didn't dance.
No.
I'm trying to think who was in this movie I just watched a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
With
well,
Ann Southern and this lady. She was the best tap dancer Hollywood ever had, and my mother loved her.
Well, you know, it might not be a dancer.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It could even be Hattie McDaniel.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yes, yes, absolutely. Denver's contribution to theater. Yes, it could be. All right.
Right.
Well, good deal. Well, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, honey. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. All right, so very nice to talk to Barb. And, yeah, it's great. She found somebody to get her to the doctor once a month. And, yeah, it's tough for chronic things. But thank God it's working out and she's still seeing. So, boy, it's better than anything else. So we've got Eduardo in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh. Well, they beat me on Eric Carmen. I best know him from the Hunger Eyes Dirty Dancing song.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I didn't even know about the Raspberries when I looked his name up.
Oh, yeah, Go All the Way. That's Eric Carmen All the Way.
Yeah. It's always good to learn that stuff because some of these, I always thought when I was listening to people in the 80s, I go, did they just like start out and then find out, oh, no, they've been playing around since the 70s. How about that?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely he'd been around, and his parents got him into, like, the Cleveland Institute to study violin when he was, like, six. I mean, he was a child prodigy there and all that kind of stuff. So, he was 74. He wasn't 71, he was 74, but still, that's young.
He learned to play the guitar on his own, is I think what I read.
He did learn guitar on his own. You're right. He absolutely self-taught on guitar, just like he had after violin, he took piano and then self-taught on guitar. You know, the Beatles changed the world. Everybody had to play guitar. But then he went out to Los Angeles and then came back, and I think he was living in Gates Mills, which is Cuyahoga County.
Okay. Well, speaking of Ohio, this was a hard miss. 12-year-old. Stuck all night Sunday evening in Target, and they found him Monday morning. How did they miss that?
Yeah, tell me. How did they miss it?
So,
I thought the kid was 12.
Yeah, 12 years old, yeah.
Yeah, 12. And, right. Now, at 12, you know, you're old enough to kind of know you've got a problem there. I find that he had run away from home, and his parents, you know, filed a missing persons report, missing kids report, basically. And a Target worker found him in the store the next morning. But you know, I'm not 100% sure, you know, why he chose us, you know, to hide out in Target. And like you say, don't they notice these things? So
yeah, it could be time for like lasers. In movies, and then if you walk past the laser, there you go. There's an extra alarm.
Well, I don't know. He was right in Columbus, I guess, the big excitement of Target there.
Reynoldsburg.
Yeah.
To be exact.
I don't know. That's a little shopping center. They've got like an Aldi and a Hobby Lobby and a Lowe's, you know, so it's one of those strip center kind of places. But anyhow, I'd love to know the rest of this story. I hope we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, they're not pressing anything right now, the police, but
Now, what's
maybe there'll be more to it later on.
What's interesting is that I don't know, maybe Target is a mecca for this, because a couple of years ago, and it was in the Cleveland area, a woman left her 4-year-old son intentionally at Target in University Heights.
Oh, okay.
And so apparently a customer found the child alone in the aisle, so the store was still open. But mother claimed she left her son sleeping in the back seat while she went inside to shop, and that she went into Target on her own. But the surveillance cameras didn't show the same thing. And so police said she didn't realize her son wasn't in the back seat until she got home, pretty much. Well, yeah. So I would say that's child endangerment. But I don't know. I'd love to hear what was on this kid's mind. I'd also like to hear what else he did, because, you know, this wasn't the first time he acted out.
Okay.
I mean, it's
a track record.
Yeah, it's of some sort. I don't think it, you know, your first act is I'll spend the night in Target.
Right.
You know, it's,
yeah, maybe in the Christmas season, but not in March.
Right. It's also interesting that, you know, even at 12, most kids have cell phones. So
that's right.
Most kids do. So I wonder, did he, and why didn't he call to get out? It reminds me, many years ago, back in the days when phones were all step-by-step systems, one of the radio stations had a dedication line in the junior miss department of the store. And, of course, me being me, I had to figure out how it was contacting the radio station, all that kind of stuff for the dedications. Well, I quickly realized what it was doing, and it was just, an interrupted pulse. And so I listened to it closely and wrote down the number. And so, of course, because I could figure that out fairly easy, I'd go home, you know, 3 a.m, hi, I'm stuck in the department store, you know, and all this stuff. And from what I understand, there were people for days looking for whoever was calling from the department store in the middle of the night, because I was calling from home. But when I saw this, the first thing I thought, because of my history with this, was that this kid had a cell phone. Come on. What 12-year-old leaves home and leaves their cell phone behind?
Yeah, it's a treasure prize for everybody.
And so why didn't he call? If he supposedly didn't know he was locked in the store, why about 1 a.m. when he was bored? Because there's only so much you can do. Well, they do have food, but even so, there's only so much you can do. Why didn't he at that point say, hello, I'm stuck in the Target? I want to hear the rest of this story.
Definitely. All right, anything interesting, I'll call in later on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, appreciate it. So I think there is a rest of this story, and I want to know what it is. But we never did find out about the mother who left the kid in Target. But I know the charges. Anyhow, What else are we doing? Oh, Julie has called, and she rarely does. But that's great, because we don't turn the answering machine on anymore on the on-air line. So Julie from Atlanta, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Holly. Thank you. Just two quickies, please. Last week's Globe, I don't know if you saw this, on page 4, what George Clooney gave his wife for her birthday.
You know, I didn't buy that issue. Oh, wait a minute. I might have it in front of me. On page 4?
Yeah, it's the one where Charles has a spoon up to his mouth.
No. I guess I have the more recent, the March 18th Globe, where rapist Danny's wife, Bijou, is using hypnosis to erase him from her life. So, you don't want to miss that one. So, what about George here?
He gave her the cutest little, I hope you can look it up, the cutest little St. Bernard you ever saw.
Aw, isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Man, he's going to be sorry. All right.
I don't know how old it is, but it's a handful.
Sure. Yeah, and if it's a puppy, they don't know yet how he will be at drooling. You know, some of them are very prodigious at drooling, others not quite as much. But this could be a very interesting purchase. Oh, I want to say, okay, here we go. Here we go. The couple were photographed with an adorable St. Bernard puppy.
Yeah.
This is in People. I'm looking at the puppy.
Good.
It's an adorable puppy. He's going to be about 230 pounds. Now, whether or not he's going to drool, I can see him. He's a big boy. Whether or not he's going to drool, I can't tell yet. I need to look closer at those jowls within the next few weeks. But I hope she wanted one.
That's true. My only other thing is, did anyone tell you that in Pittsburgh they now have a new bowling alley? I thought maybe Aaliyah would call that one in.
I'm a bowler, by the way. I love bowling. I was just looking at my ball the other day and saying, I haven't gone bowling in a long time, but I love bowling. Now, I'll tell you, I've been to many bowling alleys across the country. I have never seen anyone in it that I wanted to see without clothes. Never. I full clothes would be better. So,
It's called Balls Out Bowling.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
How could it not? Balls Out Bowling in Pittsburgh itself?
Yes, that's what they said on the news. Yeah,
it's back.
Preston Ingram Lane.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's back. Nudity is required. So apparently, the Pittsburgh area naturalists are behind this. And as I say, if you ever have a child and you're worried that maybe they're a little bit, too adult too quickly, take them to a nudist colony. They'll never, ever want to see anyone nude again. If you're over the 18, or over the age of 18, whether you're a seasoned pro or a beginner, this event is for everyone. Nudity is required. You know, those plastic benches get cold. So I hope they're bringing a towel.
You don't want to sit on one after.
No. Well, they do say nudity is required, but the women can wear bottoms, and I know why. That could be very interesting if they didn't.
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to see
indeed.
That. Yeah, that's right out of a Roger Waters movie. And sexual activity is not permitted. They don't have to worry. I've seen these people. And those running the event say nudism does not equal consent, and harassment will not be taken lightly. All right. No photography is allowed. Well, that's good. That's good to protect the guilty. Yes, I think it should be no photography.
Yes,
oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I guess, and by the way, I do not believe this is all the time. I think that they have events from time to time, and this one is on Sunday. Apparently April 28th. So it's a one-night thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Well, those are my two things. Except I wanted to say I'd never, in the back of your book, it says you read Seth Speaks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did too when it came out.
Me too.
A million years ago, I did. And I've never met anyone who read that. So.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't find my copy, so I might have to...
Well, believe me, they've reprinted every one of those 6 way to Sunday. And the Seth material actually came out before Seth Speaks. So that was the first in the series, and then Seth Speaks. But yeah, you can get that anywhere because they have reprinted. It's probably free online if you look.
Okay. I'm sure I read every page and I believed everything,
but
I was, like 19 years old or something, so... Oh, it's your news time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what John says. It's news time. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so right there is where we'll stop it, and we'll pick it up again with you in moments here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Cheryl Lynn. The birthday girl yesterday turned 67 from Los Angeles, and she's the only person who ever scored a perfect 30 on The Gong Show. She also was in the touring company of The Wiz and much more, but of course, in 1978 on Columbia, she was on top of the world with Got to Be Real. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Jimmy P on the South Side is up tonight. What's happening, Jimmy P? Yeah, we lost Jimmy P. All right, well, I appreciate him even trying. That was very nice of him. So Cleveland Dennis has a request, and what was it you wanted to hear?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of hot topics tonight.
Yeah, what are you eating?
Coconut paletta.
Oh,
sorry.
All right, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's good. Nourishing.
Yeah. Paper Castles was mentioned by Frankie Lyman.
Indeed.
I Say Yes. I love that song.
You do you?
When
okay.
You
had
a... Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, back when I first got started with the oldies or 50s music, it was played on, station that only had a couple hours show, and I got hooked on it there. You mentioned the Grassroots, okay?
Yeah.
Saw them live in a small bar on the west side of Cleveland. You also mentioned Lyndhurst, okay, via Eric Carmen.
Yeah.
My grandmother lived there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah, we know that area quite well.
Eric's parents had emigrated from Russia to Lyndhurst.
Right.
And so he was first generation.
I ran into him at the airport, and he was having a conniption, I guess, with his family or his handlers.
Yeah.
And he looked like a big spoiled brat to me. Remember it well. Yeah.
Well, why
Sorry
not?
To say.
Well,
know.
Why
but
not?
You mentioned something else about the west side of Cleveland. What was that about?
Well, no, Sonny Geraci was a west side
boy. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Not a West Side boy?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was. Where was he from?
No, he was from, the Far East Side suburb. It'll come to me in a moment here because my brother-in-law is from there. But, yeah, he was there, and Time Won't Let Me is one of those songs that are just timeless.
Now,
and,
I know he was... at some point he was in South Russell Village. I know that, and Chagrin Valley, but I was
That's all Far East. Yeah,
I know it's Far East, but I thought where's Mayfield Heights?
Mayfield Heights is farther out east, beyond Lyndhurst.
Right.
But
all right.
His family had Geraci's Pizza, and again, it'll come to me in a moment or two where they were the suburb there. But were I want to make sure.
Wait a minute, Geraci's Pizza, is that the one that was in University Heights?
Maybe. I don't know exactly where it was. I was never there, but that's what they were kind of known for.
I think it was on Warrensville.
That's far east, yeah. Could be.
Okay, see, could okay. Be. Well, I don't know why I put him on the wrong. Not like I thought he was in Parma, but I did think he was.
No.
On, yeah, I
no.
Did, but I yeah, right. That'd be interesting. I did didn't realize he was an East Side boy as well. Oh.
Right.
But yeah, right. The only Geraci's I knew was the one on University Heights.
Uh huh.
So
I just want to make sure I can get a request in for "Daddy Daddy" by Richard Berry and the Dreamers.
I think they might have had one on Pepper Pike too, by the way. But anyway, but I digress.
Would be.
Yeah, I knew somebody else used to live there in high school. But okay, "Daddy Daddy" by the Dreamers. Yeah.
Richard Berry and the Dreamers, about 1955, I think. We ran across it recently, and I thought it is worth requesting.
Okay, on the Flair label.
It is, huh?
It is.
Yeah,
it is Flair.
I don't know.
But, well, if it's Flair, you know that there's something pretty good about it. So, I'll play it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right,
and
thanks.
That's really all about.
Thanks for the correction.
Later.
I didn't mean to move him. I'm sure his family would be horrified. All right, appreciate that. Thanks.
No, they'd be fine with it. Okay.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a Geraci's in Pepper Pike, but maybe not. You know, Carol, who does our show prep, she is from Cleveland, and she would know all. I know very little. So 888-876-5593, except I always wonder, why was the airport on the west? Well, never mind. That's a long story. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll play Daddy Daddy, Why Not, by the Dreamers, coming up on WGN Radio.
Thrills my spine. Ooh, wee,
Daddy, kiss me just once more.
Later, baby, there's your father at the door.
Daddy, Daddy, please don't go. Daddy, Daddy,
baby, baby, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Richard Berry and the Dreamers. The Dreamers are actually the Blossoms when they successfully recruited Darlene Love, but this was before Darlene. This is Fenita Wright and Annette Williams and Nanette and Jackson and Gloria Jones, and all wonderful as the Dreamers. And Richard Berry, of course, who wrote it, and Flair was a cute little label. It was the Bahari Brothers, the guys who had Modern and 9 zillion other labels of different names. They had it. It was a subsidiary of Modern. It was around from about 53 to, about 57, maybe 56, thereabout. And they had a lot of Richard Berry. And they had some Shirley Gunter, which was nice. And, of course, the Flares, you know, whoever they got for the day that they named the Flares. And like that, Elmore James was on Flair. Yes, they were a righteous little label. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. All right, so Cindy and Norge is back. All right, Cindy, what's up?
Well, the other week I wanted to ask you if you remember the Radio Mystery Theater.
Sure, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, of course.
I don't know if I listened to that on WGN or WJJD in Chicago.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it was WGN. And of course that went on for quite a while, and certainly into the 70s. I loved it when most of the episodes were produced by Hyman Brown, And this is a guy who produced probably more than 30,000 different radio dramas. And he worked with all the big names. But, he did things like Inner Sanctum and stuff like that. But most of that CBS Radio Mystery Theater was under Hyman Brown direction. So I remember I'd listen to that driving across the country and be scared living witless out of some of it. I remember driving when they first opened I-64 in southern Illinois. There was nothing on this road. Nothing. I mean, there were eggs and stuff, but there was no cars. It's almost like nobody knew that the interstate was open. And I'd be there all alone, and there it would be late at night, dark, totally dark, and here would be Mystery Theater scaring me. I would turn my dome light on. Now, I'm not really sure what I thought was going to be helped by that, but somehow I felt better. So, yeah, I remember it well.
I was kind of still a child when, I don't know if my father bought me my transistor, my little black transistor radio die that he bought me when I was 6. So he bought me a clock radio either from Walgreens or Radio Shack, and I remember the dial, the numbers for the time would flip.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that. But that, I would have that radio, and he bought me that radio. And I remember the one where the guy sold his soul to the devil so that he was really young, and he sold his soul to the devil so he would be 57 and the executive of a company and wouldn't have to go through all those years and would just be 57 and like a corporate executive. And I think he bought an apartment on the 13th floor, and the elevator opened up and he fell through it and died.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then the one, and then I remember the headless horseman, and then there was a castle or something that people were staying in, and there was a crack in the wall where the crack got bigger and they got sucked in the crack or something.
Yeah, there were lots of episodes. This was a recreation, obviously, because this is long after that type of radio was alive and healthy. And they had hired Hyman Brown in 1974, and it would ran for like 8 years, 1974 to 1982, and he produced them. And they had E.G. Marshall who hosted them, and then
was the guy.
Right, E.G. Marshall.
And
the format was similar to most of those old time shows, like The Mysterious Traveler, The Whistler, or whatever. So E.G. Marshall, E.G. Marshall would provide the the wisdom and the commentary and all that kind of stuff. And
the one that scared me, that I remember most vividly, I don't know how these people shrunk, but I don't know if you remember this one, where the people shrunk to like ant size and they woke up in like a sandy desert and they're like, where are we? And then all of a sudden there's a Venus flytrap in there and a cactus.
I think that was yesterday. I think that was Yesterday's Giant was the episode. I'm pretty sure.
And then they woke up these guys like, we're in a terrarium.
Well, in any event, it might not. But here's the deal about this is all those episodes, I think, are probably online. About 20 years ago, NPR ran them all. And so I would think you can find them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, if you really wanted to find them, I'm pretty sure you could. There was Sagamore Cottage was one of them, and that's where people shrunk to the size of dolls. And so, that might have been it. And it was like they were in a witch's house, this couple, and they stumble across her secret, and that all the Charmy China dolls she had were actually people she had shrunk. Absolutely. And so all these things were late. I had to turn on the dome light. So you can probably, and I haven't done this, but I bet you could find them.
Oh, but that was when I was still, I must have been in fifth grade when I listened to that, fifth, sixth, and I was still afraid of the monster in the closet.
Mm. Well, you know, it was a throwback to what High Brown used to do. Like I say, he did the Inner Sanctum. And it was interesting because this guy lived just a few days short of 100 years. He was born in 1910, and he made it to 2010. And so he was in his 60s when he, you know, resurrected the concept and did CBS Mystery Theater. But it ran for 8 years, and it was terrific. I mean, just about everybody I know who listened to it, and I'm just looking, like, on YouTube as we speak, The Edge of Nightfall, here it is. You can, Chilly Sunshine, The People of Sisera, you can find them. So just go to YouTube.com. CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, maybe I could do, you know, if I have more showings or if this is the end of it, I could go to the library and sit there and go on my phone on YouTube.
Oh, you want, or, you know, get broadband at home. What a concept. So yeah, I'm looking to see if I can find a great place to find them all. I also don't know at this point whether or not they would be for sale, you know, because sometimes the compilations, you can buy them on CD or whatever they would have today. I don't know, because I think some of the problem would be rights in terms of the way they were done, because there were a lot of well-known veteran people who were in some of these shows. And then there were people like Casey Kasem, who was in The Headless Hessian. But, I mean, other than that.
I remember Casey Kasem, yes, too, and The Power Line.
Oh, Power Line was great. Yes, Brother John, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, love Brother John. Made God Squad a pleasure to have to run on Sunday mornings. Yeah, Brother John Rivers. Yep.
Yeah.
Remember it all.
Okay,
all right.
Well, that was, I don't know, I just remembered that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I say, you can when you're near the internet, you can find all of this and more.
Okay, well, thank you. Nice.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, and I think Bill's saying BBM, and of course, it was owned by CBS. It would have to be. Of course it's on BBM, Bill. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it would, WBBM.
Yeah, because CBS, of course.
Right, because it was CBS.
Right.
And, of course, WBBM still runs old radio shows from midnight to 1 every Monday through Friday.
All right.
So they have all kinds of old radio shows.
So if you're bored with me, listen to that. There you go.
Yeah, because I just happened when they were doing the news, I wanted to see what they had on, because I listened to you.
Mm.
And they had on George Raft with, what's his name? Oh, Frank Sinatra played Fortune.
Okay.
I forget the name of the show. Something Fortune.
Okay.
And they had that, and then if she really wants to listen to old radio shows on Saturdays from 1 to 5, that's in Chicago time.
Mm-hmm.
WDCB Public Radio, that's on FM.
Mm-hmm.
They play all. They're the guy's been on there since. Well, it started with Chuck Shaden way back in 1970.
Okay,
it's still on. Those were the days, and you can also get them on NostalgiaDigest.com. You can get the Saturday show. They play it 24 hours a day. They change it every Tuesday.
Well, there you go.
So then, and also, there's another one on the internet called MushroomEscape.com.
Okay. Of course, she doesn't have any broadband, so it's great for anybody else, but not for her.
Right. Well, you don't have, you know, the internet. I mean, MushroomEscape.com.
I just looked for that, and it said server can't be found.
Wait a minute. Okay, try it. Well, maybe on the internet it's Mushroom FM, and you go under it, and there's a Mushroom Escape.
Okay, let's try Mushroom FM.
Try Mushroom FM.
No, that's radio. Not there either. Tell me something else.
Huh. Well, that's the way I get it.
All
Mushroom.
Right. Well, I'll look for it.
Well, maybe it's mushroomradio.com. I got it on my thing, and I just scroll just... click on and click it.
It's radiomushroom.org.
That's
just then, like mushroomescape.com, isn't it? All right, so
right,
radiomushroom.org.
Well, I know on my Google device.
Yeah.
I just say Mushroom Escape Radio.
All right.
Tune in.
No, yeah, that would be radiomushroom.org. All right, very good.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Just
well,
like
I know,
it.
I know I got it because there's so many dots and orgs and coms and that. You have to
all right. Well, very good. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
There are plenty of old radios out there.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay, good deal. So okay. There you have it. Yes, listen to your heart content. And what else do we have? We have the waning moments here. So we say goodbye to Cindy, and we said goodbye to Cleveland Dennis and to Bill. And what that means is my last moments are going to be spent with James on the South Side. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I don't know if you saw the story about the person for 50 years drank Coke.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I'll tell you, why don't you call me tomorrow night earlier and we'll start with that. I'll be drinking one as we speak.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so that'll pretty much be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes it fun to do. So will you do that again tomorrow night, please? We start at 10 right here on WGN Radio.